Welcome back to the Batuta Advocate podcast, and I'm your host, Errol Parker. Today's episode takes a unique turn as I find myself flying solo without my usual co-hosts, Clancy or Wendell. Clancy's off in the big smoke in Charleville getting his first colonoscopy, as you should when you're over 50, stop putting it off. And Wendell too's gone with him. Wendell's done his knee again, so he's having that looked at. While they're off on their own separate medical adventures, I'm here to bring you an exclusive interview about AFL, something I'm not very well versed on, but I'm hoping to learn something over the course of this podcast. I'm talking to the boys from They Might Be Giants podcast. Joining me today are two very talented individuals, Alex Williams, an Australian actor renowned for his versatile roles, and Brandon McClellan, a stage actor who does television and film to keep the lights on. Both very talented. Alex is best known for his lead roles as Julian Assange in Underground, the Julian Assange story, while Brandon gained recognition and a Logie nomination for his performance as Pat Dooley in Anzac Girls. Alex's journey from the northern suburbs of Perth to becoming a GWS Giants ambassador is a real testament to his talent and dedication to both his craft and his love of footy. Meanwhile, Brandon's roots trace back to Penrith, the NRL heartland of New South Wales. He spent some time in Dubbo, which is the gateway to the Australian outback, coming up from Sydney, before making his way to Batemans Bay, which is his long-term home. He honed his acting skills at NIDA, and he left in 2012 and ventured into a successful career. I think Alex went to Whopper. For you thespians out there, I think that's both of them are very esteemed acting colleges. Nevertheless, Alex and Brandon bring a really unique blend of expertise and passion to their podcast, They Might Be Giants, as they explore the vibrant culture of AFL, especially in Western Sydney. So whether you're a footy fan or, like me, you know of AFL and enjoy watching it from time to time, but you don't really know the rules, Alex is going to tell us a little bit about footy and why he likes it, and Brandon is going to tell us about what he's learnt so far. Either way, I'm mucking to get into this. So boys, without further delay, let's uncover the stories and experiences that make Alex Williams and Brandon McClellan such standout talents when it comes to entertainment and footy culture. And they're joining me in the studio today, Brandon and Alex. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Now, the Giants. Alex, you're the ambassador. You take that role very seriously. Brandon, you're more in my boat. I am not from an AFL part of the world. I'm not from an AFL family. I didn't follow it growing up, but it's always been there. It's always been a source of interest for me. You know, I've always looked through the keyhole at this great world to the south, where, you know, they have all of their own slang. They have, you know, all of their own customs. And it isn't sort of jealousy, but I understand you're more or less in the same boat.
I'm 100% in the same boat, okay. Yeah. No rugby league family, no rugby league. Enough rugby league. I'm talking no AFL family, no kind of any of that. But, no, I've always kind of been a bit enchanted by it as well. And a bit kind of turned on by it, I think.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, a little bit. There's something about watching those AFL players run around the field. Gets me a little hot.
It's certainly a different body type.
Yeah, you know? It's 100%.
It's a more lean kind of sort of like whippet style compared to the I first time I went to an NRL game was in Perth, and my dad grew up in Redfern and whatnot, and went for the Rabbitohs.
Oh, yeah.
But he was like, we should go and watch. You know, they bring over, I think it was the Rabbitohs and the Broncos, I'm pretty sure, would play in Perth like once a year.
That would make sense with your father being there, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like, son, I'm going to show you some quality rugby league.
Yeah.
They brought the Tigers and the Bulldogs over. Yeah.
You know? No, they brought it over, and I remember going and seeing it for the first time, and the first time I heard them run into each other, like right in front of me, I was like, oh, no. Nah. I'm not playing
hectic,
that.
Isn't it?
Because I grew up, like, my dad was an Olympic water polo player and a big unit. And he was like, never play rugby. He was just like, don't do it. One, you're too small. And two, you know, it's just not going to work for you. And I remember going, because I tried out a lot of different sports. You know, I played a season of lacrosse, I played basketball, tennis, everything. And I was like, as soon as I saw one hit, I was like, there's no way. There's no way in hell I'm ever going on one of those fields.
I was completely the opposite. I was like, as soon as I had like kind of grown into my body enough, I could not wait to run out there and be absolutely smashed.
There you go. That says something about the two of us.
Yeah.
I'm a massive.
So let's talk about the Giants. For those who are listening on the tractors in regional parts of Queensland and New South Wales, it might not be following the AFL as closely. The Western Sydney Giants, they jostle for eyeballs in Western Sydney. You know, it's the great cauldron of sport, culture, and you know everything else there is burgeoning. What kind of space do the Giants occupy in Western Sydney, do you think?
Look, I think it's definitely when they started and they decided to make this team up in Western Sydney and get into the market, I think there was definitely a reaction from Victorians and the other clubs that, you know, this was a plastic club, much like the Gold Coast Suns. They had no history. They had no kind of foothold in the community. And that was sort of made obvious by calling it the Greater Western Sydney Giants, which is, you know, basically a Victorian term for political, like an area that, you know.
West of Newtown.
Yeah, pretty much. But look, I think it's one of those things. What the AFL does really well is it does grassroots really well. And they have built up a lot more kind of youth interaction, a lot of clubs out there. They're sort of, you know, they do all that kind of stuff really well. And I think another part of it that's been interesting on this podcast that we're sort of learning is that, you know, there are certain areas in Western Sydney that it's like, no, you go there and that's like a Bulldogs pub and you watch, you know, like everyone.
Much.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, it's like AFL in Melbourne, you know, like they have those defined areas. But I guess what Greater Western Sydney, the Giants have that the NRL kind of is that they don't have, you know, a massive competition out there. You know, you basically just got to deal with the Swans and they can kind of just be Ecuador. And like, you know, or any league fan that goes for any of those Western Sydney teams can have, you know, the Giants as their thing to do on the other weekend.
Yeah, it could be the one thing to unite all the Western Sydney rugby league clubs.
I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not.
So AFL really is built on, you know, these historic rivalries. What's the opinion of the Swans out west? Like, how people like to think that the Demons in Melbourne, you know, are for the, you know, brown boot wearing,
the Toffs, yeah,
you know, jean wearing young men who all have a certain membership, a hereditary membership to a certain large sporting ground. Is that sort of similar to people out west viewing the Swans?
Can you answer that?
I know, because when I grew up, I grew up in Penrith and then we moved to Dubbo and then finally down to Batemans Bay. And every single one of those places, no one went for the Swans. Even when they were winning in like, what was it, 04 or something like that. It just doesn't feel like a team that has much, I don't know, and it doesn't seem like a team that's done much outreach past, you know,
because they don't
on
have
the
to.
TV. Well, they don't have to, do they? No, because they're full
they
of. They
did
all
in the early
kids.
Days. They did in the early days, to
oh,
be
yeah,
fair.
Oh, yeah, sure they did.
90s in like sort of with private ownership. But, it was a bit of a mess. It's a relocation. I mean, we talked about this on our podcast about relocating and mergers in teams and how you lose so much of your identity and your history there. I mean, they try and connect to it, but it's South Melbourne. It's a South Melbourne football club that's on the back of their thing. While, you know, GWS was, we're born
yeah,
bred.
Born
here,
and bred.
Yeah.
But I think there is that thing with the Giants. I know I found it a little easier, even when I wasn't watching the AFL, but you want to be included in a conversation. You just go, oh, yeah, I don't really watch it, but I'd probably say the Giants are my team because it was kind of like the Western Sydney Wanderers.
I think as well, like the Swans, it's more of a like socialite club. They're like you go to games and it's a great atmosphere, but it's very like we're here to chat and take pictures.
And I do feel like it's got a bit of a private schoolboy kind of feel.
Yeah, it's
to
a bit
it,
more Melbourne.
Club.
Yeah, in that
it's
way,
it's a bit more Melbourne.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah, there's the
so
RM Williams down there.
It's more of a social occasion.
I'd say so.
You know, to clip-clop your way down Oxford Street in your
Hit a bar in Paddington.
In your R.M. Williams boots have...
fresh out of the box
two,
R.M.s.
Two measured schooners of Hahn Premium Dry.
Hahn Super Dry.
Do they serve freshers here?
I'm watching myself because I'm going to Val d'Isère in June. Yeah.
So we're straight to the STC and then we'll watch the Swans afterwards. Catch a matinee.
Wonderful.
We can't do it. We're in the theatre all the time.
That's getting my steps in from Belvoir to the SCG to the Paddo Inn.
Exactly. Yes.
So I'm taking, out in Western Sydney, there's not too much walking done between places, but...
Absolutely not.
No, in the first few couple episodes of your podcast you've put out, I have noticed there is a bit of a theme where you do like to explore, Australian Tuscany, that is...
that's what we'll call
Western Sydney, where, you've gone out to all the hills in the Hills District.
Most of them.
Yeah, and you've... gone to these different pubs where these teams like to congregate. How has that journey been for both of you? With you being a somewhat local there, and for you, Alex, coming over from our prosperous West.
Mm. Well, I guess for me, the whole concept of the show is, Brandon doesn't know anything about AFL. I'm teaching about AFL, and I know, I've lived here for 10, 12 years, and I know nothing about Western Sydney, really. I got into the inner west and basically just stayed there. It's a really nice, it's nice to go out to these different kind of pubs and check it out. Like, we went to Seven Hills the other day, this Silverwater Hotel. Oh, yeah. Never been there before, but got the little history lesson before that one.
There's a pub at Silverwater.
Yes.
There is,
right on the river.
Mm. Well, there's right on the river where the water is silver, I guess.
Exactly. It flows gold.
I've found it people have been pretty welcoming and embracing of it, actually. I was prepared when we first started kind of reaching out to these kind of pubs in, particularly Western Sydney heartland. Mm. I thought there'd be a bit more pushback, being like, oh, no, you'll never fill that, blah, blah, blah. Although there was the first one was like, yeah, we'll see how many turn up. And we ended up getting 40, 50 people to that one. But people have been pretty good, but we are getting used to the fact that there'll always be a couple of the old regulars kind of like shuffling on the outside of wherever we are, just being like, what the f*** is going on?
Yeah, swanning in and out of the gaming room and being like, why are these people cheering at soccer?
You always get these old hands in the Giants club, sort of, I'm
rusted on. I've been here for 50 years.
I've been here for 10 years.
When the Giants were inaugurated in 1934.
I was cheering on Dylan Buckley and Day Dot, mate. I've been here.
One of the OGs, the original Giants.
I've been here since you were in post-grad, mate. That's how long you've been here for. But no, look, so what were your first impressions, Brandon, because you were saying that this is, you did go to your first AFL game,
I did, yeah.
Talk us through that. I mean, the first AFL game I ever went to was Carlton versus the Saints, and I was left scratching my noodle at that. I was like, it's like, do people come to this glorious Coliseum week in and week out and see 50 points get scored?
Was it at the G?
My word it was. And they scored 50 points in the pissing
between
rain.
Between them?
Yes. It was horizontal rain.
The footy?
I was like, I had seen games of soccer that were more enthralling.
Higher scoring. Yeah.
Yeah, no. But can you tell us about that first game?
Well, I've had the opposite, because I've only gone to see the Giants game so far. And they were on
an explosive, fun, mate, exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they've been winning and winning pretty big. So I haven't seen any low scoring contests yet with the Giants. Even when they lost, it was still like they were 1 point off getting 100. I will say it's taken me a very, very, very long time to figure out when a team is safe or not as well, because I see 20 points on the board and as a rugby league fan, I go, well, you can put the cue in the rack now. But in AFL, that game can change within about a minute's time. A 20-point lead can be nothing.
The kind of rule is that in the last 5 minutes or so, a team can score about a goal a minute. Like, if they're really on fire, yeah, it's about a goal a minute. So you're not really safe unless you're sort of 30 points up in the last little. You know, it happened the other week with St Kilda. They kicked the last seven goals.
Oh, yeah.
Or six goals in at the end of the game in that last quarter. And it was just
unheard
like,
of, really.
Well, for St Kilda, yeah. For
St Kilda, especially for St Kilda, man. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting hearing you talk about like such a low scoring game that you went to. I'd be interested because
it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Well, in the early 2010s, 2009, kind of afterwards. It was a very much defensive game style that was brought in by Ross Lyon.
Yeah.
And it did make AFL almost unwatchable for quite a long time because it was the flooding era and it was just insufferable to watch. But recently, so sort of around 2016, 2017, a far more offensive game has kind of come into vogue and been far more, it's been way easier to watch.
It was in about 2010. Was when the millennium drought broke, really for the big time, you know?
Yeah, like
how it didn't really rain from essentially 9/11 to about 2009.
That's right.
You spend your formative years in a dust bowl and then you come down to Melbourne for the first time in your life and it's sideways rain in the middle of July and a mate of yours is like, come and watch my Blues. It'll be a great game. So we left this lovely warm pub in Richmond.
To go and watch that.
Went down to the G and I was like, you've got rocks in your head, mate. So you were, mate, I'll take you to a Cowboys game in Townsville. You know, that's a proper event.
Yeah. From the moment you enter Townsville, that's an event.
How much time have you spent in Western Sydney, Alex? I mean, you were saying that you hadn't spent too much before. What were your impressions coming in there? I mean, like, obviously it's kind of similar to Perth's eastern suburbs, except politicians care about it.
Yeah, that's it.
Because I've spent a bit of time out there, and it's really a part of Sydney I kind of prefer to be in.
Well, it's the first thing that struck me is just how massive it is. You know,
it is the scale of it.
It's humongous, and that's why the Giants, you know, are put there. But for me, you know, the idea of like going to Western Sydney, like what does that even mean? It's so diverse, and there's so many different areas. I mean, quite selfishly, I'm thinking with my stomach. That's kind of, you know, like we went to the Burwood, Burwood's barely Western Sydney, but we're claiming it. We went to the Chinatown markets there, and it was just a delight. And everywhere that we've gone, it's sort of, you know, going to the Ramadan night markets and stuff like that, like just getting out and kind of experiencing, you know, all these different suburbs are completely different. It sort of gets lumped together. But it's far more diverse and interesting than, you know, Newtown meets, you know, Paddington. It's pretty much the same once you get out east. So
I'd never really been introduced to the concept of Western Sydney, though, until really quite recently.
Mm.
Like I know it's a term that's been around for ages, but like growing up, you'd never call Penrith Sydney. It was its own city.
Yeah.
Same with Parramatta. Parramatta wasn't part of Sydney. It was its own thing because, you know, they're far enough away. Canterbury, the same thing.
Yeah. So, well, I think that's pretty common. I mean, you know, when I would think of Sydney, I'd always think Ugly Bridge and their opera house and completely pointless tower. Those are the things that would come
genuinely
to mind.
Genuinely one of the stupidest pieces of architecture in the world. City.
Centrepoint. You know, when I first came to Sydney, when I first came from Perth, the first place someone took me was the restaurant at Centrepoint Tower. And I went, does it get bigger than this?
No, well, I'd seen the one in Canberra before because we used to go to Canberra for holidays.
That's a lazy Susan, mate. That's not a tower.
That's better.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the one up in the mountain.
Black Mountain Tower.
Yeah. And I'd always thought that Centrepoint Tower was a ripoff of that tower, that it was just a copy.
Yeah, well, they have them all over the world, though. I mean, like, it just goes to show how opulent the 80s were.
You know,
Just like, we've got too much money. What should we do? Build an observation deck that serves no purpose.
And a light rail.
Yeah, let's make everything this weird kind of gold champagne-coloured concrete.
Sparkling beige.
So tell us about your relationship with the Giants. I mean, this podcast is you know, kind of done with their blessing. How have they been to deal with? I mean, you know.
Yeah, they've been great. So I started following the Giants because I moved from Perth to Sydney the year they started, and I was an AFL fan but didn't really have a team that I cared about. Just picked one of the Victorian ones that I liked the colours of as a kid, and I was like, well, that's not doing it for me. So when I moved there to Sydney, I was like, this is great. I can go to games every second weekend, and, you know, it's a bit of fun. And to be honest, for those first that first little while, you know, while I was acting and, you know, acting, you move around a fair bit. I just found it really enjoyable to, you know, just constantly live tweet the games and you know, come up with nonsense. And, yeah. and
back when Twitter was fun.
Yeah, back when Twitter was fun. And they kind of enjoyed that. And it early sort of just grew, honestly, from that. And then, you know, obviously you get a few more TV gigs and they invite you to a few games and whatnot. And it sort of built up. I started doing some, I started doing like a series for them called The One Eye Giant, which is like a, you know, post-game wrap-up. And then I kind of just, yeah, sort of just grown through that. And then with this podcast, you know, that they were more than happy for me to, you know, go off and do this and review things even-handedly. So, no, it's been great. I mean, the fun thing with them is their social media and their being a kind of new club in an emerging market. They've got to do things differently. They're not a heritage club that's going to, just, you know, gain followers by them breeding. So
they're allowed to break rules.
They are. Yeah. And it's more fun. It's just kind of more fun. So, yeah, it's been a great experience. I mean, they're fun people to work with. And they give way more access because, you know, they don't have as much support as those small, bigger clubs. So you get kind of bang for your buck as well.
Yeah, and it's no skin off their nose, you know what I mean? It all helps, I guess. If, you know, if the podcast tanks, I don't think they'll care. If the podcast takes off, I think they'll love it. Yeah, you know, exactly. There's no skin in the game.
Exactly.
Super for them, so.
But it's good, you know, like people coming out to these live events, you know, four eps into to our podcast and getting sort of 70 people the other night at a pub all cheering it on and
doing
getting
the raffles
into it.
And everything.
Yeah, it's kind of just a really fun community. It sort of feels like a big country club, really, when it comes down to it.
I think that's kind of been a bit of a like guiding philosophy for us as well, is that it's like we're not doing a function for, you know, Scots College. There, you know what I mean? It does have that thing of, yeah, bring the family, bring the kids. We've got the big screen on. You kind of mill around. Everyone's, you know, beers, soft drinks, a bit of dinner. Do a little chook raffle, you know, like just bringing a bit of that kind of like, you know, just a bit of Aussie family fun.
Yeah. Well, you're still quite early on in your journey.
I am.
AFL. What about this game have you found really enjoyable? I mean, like I'm talking about, you know, the mechanics of watching it. Like, have you got your AFL eye yet?
No. I definitely
don't. He's got no idea what's going on.
No, I've got very little idea what's going on. I'm picking it up. I feel like I'm doing like a section of the field, you know, every couple of months now. I feel like I've kind of figured out what the forwards do. Yeah. The midfield is still a mystery to me, but I can tell that that's exactly where a game is made or broken.
Yeah.
But the thing I'm loving about it is kind of just the sheer athleticism of it. Like they're, you know, watching rugby league, you kind of hold out for those incredible moments where you've got like Saab floating over the sideline, you know, and it's like, oh, the acrobatics like of it. Blah.
Upside down, inverted handout.
But in AFL, that's every play. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's, you know, the difference between the tackling styles as well. It's taken me a very long time not to instinctively want to call out knock on. Every time I see someone drop a ball, I'm like, well, that's not
travel.
Control.
Yeah. You know, like, he's traveling, sir.
Yeah. And every time like the crowd calls out ball at an AFL game, I'm like, yep, well done. There's been one on the field the whole game.
No, I interpret ball as like that was you've put that ball in the right spot. That was great. Or like
ball, mate.
Or
well
you've
done.
Caught it. Or
oh,
something like
right,
that,
right, 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 right. Like great ball.
Ball.
It's short for great ball.
Ball, mate.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, like kind of like in cricket.
Yeah.
Oh, great ball.
Good ball.
Yes.
Good ball.
Good ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Yeah, completely the opposite.
Really?
Yeah, well, they're yelling out ball to appeal for holding the ball when a player could have gotten rid of it and has been tackled. And they're going, ball, give us the ball.
Yeah. I still don't understand why they're saying it, though. It just feels like something that people just chirp on about.
I don't think the umpires understand why they're doing it either.
What about you, Alex? What about this game do you really love?
I've always enjoyed it, you know, just as a spectacle. I like the pace of it. I like as well, I think growing up, what I really liked about it is there's so many different body types that work as far as you can be. Like there's a bunch of players now that are like 5'6", 5'7", that are just super, super skilled.
It does look like a game that was made for a village.
Yeah, exactly.
Where, you know, it looks like, you know, there's a position for the butcher.
Everyone gets a go.
A position for the baker. There's a position for the farmer's very agile, quick son with long femurs and long arms, you know. It really seems like there's something for everyone.
I guess like growing up, you know, playing basketball, and my dad was 6'3", and I was constantly going like, I'll get there. I'll get there. Didn't get there.
Oh,
news
was your
flash.
Dad 6'3"?
Yeah, and a unit. And tough so luck. Just like, yeah, I didn't didn't get that genetics, but he...
Yeah, you're a short king.
Yeah, thanks, bud. Thanks. But yeah, like I guess, you know, you got to a certain point with basketball and you're going like, geez, if I don't grow here, I'm in a lot of trouble. And I guess in AFL, yeah, there's
you
just...
You could be Scottie Pippen. He's quite short, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you either. But I just heard that name and it made me think of Pippen.
You get the tall guys, you get the big guys. There's just kind of a bit of the fast. Like you can kind of mold anybody to work in the game. And it's just fast. I mean, it's basketball with contact. It's 360. And there is an element of when, you know, traveling to Melbourne and watching kind of big games. Like last year I went to, you know, Carlton, Sydney, before the Giants played. And when you have 98,000 people at the MCG, it's just ridiculous. Like it's massive. Very different to, you know, our experience of boutique stadium, you know, Western Sydney. It's not huge.
Yeah.
But massive. When you're in
it's
that
a showground, kind of college, you know.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've always just enjoyed the game. I think it's kind of the perfect mix of kind of strength, pace and skill.
How did you view a game like rugby league though when you were growing up? Obviously, you had your father who was an avid bunny. But like
he barely watched it. I think he just wanted to
I've given
to
him
shot.
Too much credit there.
Yeah, way too much.
But just looking through like, you know, a young AFL fan's eyes, you know.
Yeah.
What were your impressions of league?
My impressions of league was one that we didn't, you know, Perth didn't have a team.
Anymore,
because since the Reds went.
Since the Reds.
And there was the Force, there was the Western Force. So one, I was just trying to figure out. Yeah, that's Union. One was just trying to figure out what the difference
rugby
was.
Rugby Union.
Union. And I always kind of looked at it through the lens that I looked at skating. You know, my friends who liked skating, which I just like wheels, a lot of concrete and corners. It's just a lot of opportunities to get injured. And I always looked at league like that. I was just like, oh, yeah, my body's not built for that. And I always looked at I liked watching sports that I thought I could play on some level as a kid.
Yeah.
And I kind of went, nah, not a chance, you know? And I'm impressed by it. Like now going and watching a game, I'm very impressed by it. I guess for me, as I was saying to you the other day, you know, like also those 90s retro Guernseys.
Oh,
I'm just kind of obsessed with those. I'm like, I'm just looking at which one I'm going to buy.
Bring basically. Back the colour on a
yeah,
jersey.
Yeah, I love the colours on the jerseys. That history I really enjoy in a game. So, yeah, to be honest with you, I haven't watched a lot of league.
No, I actually was watching some old AFL games the other day just in a rain break.
You only watch AFL watching... when it's raining? Is this the...
Somewhat, yeah. There is a trend emerging. But I was watching like an old AFL State of Origin game.
Oh yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I didn't know until that point that they existed. Like,
I think it was before rugby had state of.
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
couldn't have been.
I think it was
ancient.
We've had the state of origin.
I think it was
since...
pre AFL.
It would have been.
I think so. Like,
because Tasmania
like
played in it. Western
the Victorians
Australia played in it, yeah.
Played in it, and then
the big V.
And then the Victorians absolutely fucked over the West Coast Eagles to form the AFL.
Yeah.
So I've been told.
Essentially, yeah, they just said you can pay to play.
By a very tall, drummer from Perth who likes to tell me things about the Eagles. Oh, so I didn't want to know, but
when did that stop? Hey, yeah. I'm just a little
Quite a while ago, basically, because the clubs, you know, the players just kept getting injured, and they went, "Well, it's going to muck up our rosters, and they just can't do it." But yeah, they did State of Origin for quite some time, and there's been calls to bring it back. So when the bushfires happened a couple of years ago, they brought back. They did one, the Allies versus Victoria, and they did like an exhibition game, and it was incredible.
There was a crazy goal in there that was kicked by a Victorian. What's his name? He kicked it off the side of his boot.
Right.
And it went, it certainly was not Peter Hellier, but like, it was like old.
Oh, you're
vintage.
Talking about the celebrity game.
The celebrity game.
That's the celebrity game.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. They did that for a long time as well. And just the amount of hamstrings, you know, just actors popping their, popping their hammies.
That's
the
certainly one thing that you can't do in rugby league is have like
a celebrity game.
No way. It's like.
You could play, Brandon. Sure.
No, it's like, who would?
What position did you play?
You know, like,
I started as a halfback and then moved towards fullback.
Yeah.
At the end of high school,
means nothing to me, but sure. Yeah,
right. I mean, like, you'd have things like Kyle Sandilands getting, you know, spear tackled into the cricket pitch by the Bondi vet. You know, like it's,
to be honest, I would just definitely watch that.
It would have to be Oztag.
They should do it before Origin. They should bring in a. They should do it networks.
Heroes
Seven
and
network
villains.
Versus nine network. I think
those,
or something like that.
Those exhibition games, they're always so welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, like we had after the bushfires, after the Boxing Day tsunami, we had, you know, all those exhibition cricket games. Where they had.
Oh, yeah, we did too.
Ricky Ponting come back and they, you know, they did all these fun things like Adam Gilchrist had a bowl. Like, you know, all of these really strange, quirky things that, you know, really diehard fans wait to see. I mean, if you were to say, you know, Adam Gilchrist is going to bowl some medium paces at VVS Laxman, that would make any cricket fan around the world tune in.
They're tuning in to that.
Yeah, right.
For sure. For sure.
I'm not a big cricket fan, so a lot of that. I know who Gilchrist is.
Of course.
They'll start just doing AI versions of them, I reckon, where like you'll see probably. Michael Clarke bowling to Bradman.
Or himself.
Or something like that. Or himself. He's done a hammy.
Aside from all the war that's obviously coming in the future, that's one part of the future that I am very keen to experience is that hopefully one day we can pick our own games and just plug in to the Matrix and I can go to the MCG on Boxing Day and watch
Peter Hellier take on Adam Hills in rugby union.
Watch Jeff Thompson come around the wicket to Don Bradman and hit him in the baggy green a few times, you know, like
all from the safety of your fallout
things like
shelter.
That. No, but so moving forward, as we get into the back end of the season, where do you hope the Giants will be? I mean, could you see them possibly making a charge in September?
Look, I don't know how much you know about last year or AFL in general, but like last year we were terrible for the first 11 rounds.
Yes.
And then we came home very strong. Mm-hmm. I think we ended up winning like 9 in a row. And then we got within a point of the grand
Rings
final.
Yes.
Look, I think we're still like as far as the markets go, like we're the premiership favorite at the moment.
True,
which is kind of crazy. But I think we're a chance to go pretty deep in September. I wouldn't say premiership. We're looking at like a maiden premiership.
Sure.
They've never won before.
There's only two clubs that haven't won a premiership, aren't there? There's the Giants.
No, there's more than that.
And the Suns.
And Fremantle's never won one.
Fremantle's never won one.
And
all those poor Fremantle hipsters.
Oh, yeah.
What are they going to do?
Get by some shoes. I think that's all of the clubs. But like those are including VFL kind of.
Yep.
Yeah. So like clubs like St Kilda and stuff like that have never won an AFL.
So like in the NRL, how they say that the Dragons have won.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Carlton, 12 in a row.
13 premierships.
Yeah. Carlton have like 16 or 17, you know, premierships. Yeah. You're like, you don't. You've got none.
Yeah.
Like, Carlton's never won one in the AFL.
They're
gets
they've
tricky.
Been first on the table a few times early on in the season.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, they're first at the moment.
Are they? Geelong?
Carlton.
Oh, I thought Geelong were.
Oh, no, you're totally right. Yeah. God.
I know. I thought I'm like, I don't know much, but I know that much. Yeah.
Brandon's clearly already overtaken me as the expert.
Well, boys, thank you for making it all the way up here to Batuta to talk to me today. It's been a real honour. And I think having listened to your podcast and having met you two guys today, I think I might open the door I've been looking through the keyhole of.
Oh, come on in.
Please.
And grab yourself an orange jumper.
Okay. It's orange and grey. Yeah.
Charcoal. We're calling it charcoal.
Yeah. Orange will do that.
High-vis. Orange charcoal. High-vis. Yeah. You can just wear high-vis to the game.
High-vis. Yeah, just like an Indian minor bird. I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, have they got orange on them? Are they the ones with the orange?
Yeah, oh, I see, yeah.
Or a trodden-on pigeon.
Yeah. And well, you know, anytime you want to come to a game, we'll sort it out. Come out to NG Stadium.
And
we'll...
God, they change their name so often, don't they?
Oh, all the time.
Spotless.
Yeah, and who's that Skoda. Now? Is that the Cowboys? No, that's a Queensland.
Spotless. No, I think Cowboys. Fuck, even that is.
It was the Giants Stadium. Was spotless for a while.
That used to be 1300 Smile Stadium.
Oh, that's right. It did too.
But before that, it was Dairy Farmers.
What's the one that gets me in the States? It's called like the Smoothie King Center. Every time. I think it's in New Orleans.
Yeah. Thanks, boys.
Thanks so much.